This is the Power Team America podcast, and today we've got junior and sub-junior U.S. national team coach Vin Mangione. Vin is a coach, a lifter, a referee, meet director, and a gym owner. He does a lot for the sport, and he's bringing a big squad of lifters to PA Nats in 1 week. After that, he'll be coaching the U.S. national teams at the North American Championships in the Cayman Islands and the Junior and Sub-Junior World Championships in Romania. We talked about the qualifying criteria for those competitions, his game day coaching strategy, how he's built such a strong community in Buffalo, and the growing rivalry with Team France. Before we start, make sure you tune in to the grand finale of the National Championship, Sub-Junior, Junior Masters, and Equipped Nationals starting June 2nd. Every session is stacked with talent, starting off with a bang on Friday morning with a four-way battle in the 63-kilo juniors, and loaded battles and solo performances all the way through. It'll be streamed live, and we always have the live events tab on our website for National Championships, and we'll also post a link on our Instagram story at powerlifting_America, so make sure you follow us there. Thank you to SBD and Eleiko for the continued partnership with Powerlifting America. If you're looking to compete in drug-tested powerlifting, whether you're just starting out or you want to compete with the best in the world, make sure you go to powerlifting-america.com and become a member. Now, let's get to this interview with Vin Mangione. What's up? I got the U.S. national team coach, gym owner, meet director, stash god, Vin Mangione. What's going on, man?
How you doing, man? Doing well.
Did I get your name right? How do I pronounce your last name?
Well, you got it right in the American way. If you want to, you know, add the Italian flair to it, you just emphasize the E at the end, so it's a little bit Mangione.
Mangione, huh? Yeah. All right.
Yep.
So, your last name is not Kenmore.
No, it's not.
I found this out the hard way in the past. What is Kenmore? Because everyone who knows you by Vin Kenmore, right? That's right. Your Instagram handle.
So Kenmore is just a small little city just outside of Buffalo, little town actually. Mm-hmm. That the gym is located in. So yeah. It was just an easy way to name the gym. And there's some things in the works though that we might be rebranding into the future. Yeah. So, it's just the city where the gym is, and it is not my last name.
Okay. So just to clarify that, so you don't get too many DMs about it. Yep. So how are things going in general, man? Everything going good?
Yeah. Busy. A lot of good stuff to look forward to. Meets wise, just life wise, everything. So, you know, even with the day-to-day, as busy as it is at times, it's been good. It's been good to me.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I know you're busy. We stay in pretty close touch. You're traveling a lot, you know, you're a ref. I don't know if I hit that on the intro, but you're a referee, you're a national referee now. I mean, you got a lot of irons in the fire. You keep it moving, and you're a hell of a coach, man. We had Joy on here, and she just speaks so highly of you. So does everyone. You're really doing something special up there in Buffalo or Kenmore, New York.
Buffalo's more notable.
Exactly. So it seems like everything's going good, man. You got a great crew going there in the gym. I see you in there like doing handoffs for everyone and their brother, everyone on your team and in your squad. It looks like you're just basically living the gym, and then on top of that you got all this other stuff going on.
Yeah there's a lot going on, but no, the gym's fun. Good group that I work with, and it's just, it makes it easier to be there every day. Mm-hmm. You know, some days it gets tiring, but you know, I wouldn't necessarily envy me either. You know, it looks fun from the outside, but there's a lot of day to day that just makes it sometimes stressful. But no, overall it's great. And, you know, you never really know what the next day is going to bring. We're looking towards expansion soon, just within the space we have now. We hold, you know, 4 meets a year there with more in the pipeline. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about gym wise. No, overall it's great. Some days it's pain in my ass, but it is what
it is. I mean, the pain in the ass comes from your own ambition though, because like you could easily just sort of like, you know, not expand the gym. You got a hell of a roster already. You could just not take on more clients. But you're super ambitious. I mean, you got goals in life. You're a young man still and everything. And, you know, you're trying to really do something special, and it takes hard work to do that. So, I mean, and absolutely. You know, it's not all roses.
No, absolutely not. So,
but, you know, I was from experience, I mean, I'm actually getting goosebumps right now. Just when you walk into Kenmore Barbell, I mean, it's a different vibe, man. Like it's a very family feeling thing, but also extremely serious, extremely fun. Do you think like because I see you in there, you're in your flip flops, look like you just roll out of bed sometimes. You're in there and you're, you know, doing handoffs and just helping everyone, spotting people on squats and stuff like that. I mean, that part of it has to just be like turn off the mind on everything else that you got going on with all the other business moves and things, and just like give a handoff to Joy or spot someone on a squat, on a grind or something.
No, it's always fun to be, I guess you could call it, in the trenches with everyone and just being there for them. You know, they appreciate it. It's fun to just watch them, you know, progress over time and kind of go through their journeys. You know, everyone's at their own, on their own chapter, right? They're all, some of them are just getting started. Some of them are a little bit more advanced. But it's just fun being around them all and just watching them progress and develop and become not just better lifters, but just better people, you know, day to day. So it's just, but that's what, that's, I mean, that's what I'd want. I wouldn't want to run a gym and not be present. There's certainly some days I'm not there as much, and the, you know, of course with travel coming up, I won't be there, but you know, when I can be there, that, you know, I want to be there. So, you know, but that's also the neat part. I don't have to be there all the time. I can be there when I want. But like you said, we brought up, there's just a lot of other things going on that I have to attend to as well. So, but that's the beauty of, you know, business ownership is you can delegate, you can be where you need to be. You don't have to be at the gym 24/7. You can go do what you got to do and, you know, come back later if you wish. Like, so yeah, no, it's fun. It's just overall, it's fun and, you know, stressful at times, but a lot of the good times definitely make it worthwhile. So
exactly.
So anyone looking to open a gym, just kind of keep that in mind. Like, you're going to have to be present. You're going to have to work to build and develop a culture that you like. It will be tough in the beginning, probably. And you just got to stick with it. So it takes time to build something. So don't get discouraged if it's not working out right away.
Yeah. When did you open the gym? Because I mean, it feels like overnight success, but it's been a minute.
No, it's been a while. 2015, sometime in August, 2015, I opened. I was just finishing up college and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, dude. I just the area was void of any type of like real powerlifting type gym. And it's around the same time when powerlifting, like it had already like always been around, but it was around that time when like raw powerlifting was really kind of becoming popular. I think a large part due to social media and, you know, the big national events that were being kind of developed and put on at the time. So it was a good time to get into it. And I think too, just getting into the sport around that time, you know, it wasn't as like chaotic and just cringy as it is now. not sure if I was, if I weren't in it already, I don't know that I'd want to be in it now, like just stepping into it for like the first time. But I think I just overall got into it at the right time. And I've been able to kind of carve out my gym, carve out my coaching style and all of that over time. And I don't feel like I feel like a pioneer of sorts, but here we are. So.
Yeah, man. I think people will see, you know, your success that you've had in the last couple of years and think it's like super easy or whatever, but like you're going on 8 years into this game. So yeah. I mean, you're just a stone's throw away of being in it for a decade. Right. So it's definitely something that takes, you know, a lot of foundation building, before, you know, things are going to really pop off.
Exactly. And it definitely takes, it takes a few people like Joy and, you know, some other bigger name lifters, more popular name lifters, Audrey, to kind of recognize you and join forces, if you will. And just, you know, you definitely like you kind of make it in coaching. You got to have a couple of those people on your roster. But you got to do right by them and you got to, you know, find success for them. And it's not always easy, but we do our best to do that for them.
Yeah. And I mean, I just love to see too, though, like, you know, the whole crew in Buffalo, man, I've been out there a few times and it's just like, it's a different vibe. It's a super tight knit community in your gym. I mean, you're in there giving handoffs to David Jackson's like 14 years old, you know, spotting him on squats and stuff. Yep. And like Paulie G, let's give him a shout out, you know, and
Turbo, that's his new nickname. Man.
I mean, and these are people that, you know, people nationally may not recognize or whatever, but like, that's the thing. Like you give them just the same amount of attention and stuff as you would give Joy when you're in there in the trenches with them and whatnot. And they kind of, I'm sure, feel special that, hey man, this guy's over here with these superstar athletes like Joy and Audrey. And he's also over here with Paulie and David Jackson, everyone else that's in there.
So. I try to treat everyone the same and I do my best to give everyone equal amounts of attention, but you know, it's near impossible to do that. Like everyone's training schedules are different.
Yeah.
But No, I just, you know, I always try to say hi to everybody, even people I don't coach at the gym. Just, hey, how you doing? Like, you just try to treat people right and make them feel welcomed, and they appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember saying, man, last time I was in your gym, I was like, man, this is just the place. Like, you walk through the door and you just feel like this is home. Like, feels like I've only been in your gym like maybe two or three times, and it just like just feels like, you know, as a power lifter, you walk in there and it's just like, yeah, you feel like you're right at home. So you're doing a great job. All right, let's get into some stuff. So first thing, current events wise, did you watch Sheffield? What was your take on it?
Yeah, I did. I think I watched the entire thing. I broke it up. I had it on at the gym. And so we were watching it there as a group, and it was just the cool vibe to just turn on some powerlifting and feel like it's like a pay-per-view type event.
Yeah.
So it was just, I think overall it was great. I mean, it's the event everyone's been waiting for, and the one that was, you know, derailed by, you know, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I think it lived up to its hype, I would say. And the lifting was phenomenal. I liked how they scored it. I mean, it was unique. It was a different way to score that, because I mean, how else really would you do that? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think too, it definitely, I think, will create a shift too amongst powerlifting in terms of who might now want to come over to the IPF and take a run at that. Especially if it's something Chef, if they'll be doing, you know, yearly. I guess too, that would matter. I think they're doing it next year, right?
Yeah, of course. It was just announced yesterday. You know, posted, they dropped the new logo, SHF Sheffield logo. It looks like kind of a throwback off of like a wrestling or even like an NFL style. It almost looks like NFL. SHF Sheffield, you know, logo and everything like that. They announced the date. It's February 10th, which, you know, you nothing real big going on for Bills fans, but for Chiefs fans, it's the day before the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So you know, we'll probably be back to back. So I don't know, to figure out how
we'll
to watch
both. We'll see. You never know what's gonna happen with the Bills. I know, I'd say we beat you, but we never really beat you when it matters. So I can't get too out of line here. But no, just off topic with that, no, I think the Bills will be right there again.
Of course.
They should be. I mean, if they were able to win 13 last year with everything that went on, make it to, you know, that abysmal game against Cincinnati. I was there. It was terrible.
It's rough.
But yeah, I think we could get back to the AFC Championship for sure. Probably against Kansas.
I was there. That's crazy. Cause you know, yeah, I was with you. I was at your house watching it while you were at the game.
Bro, I was out till 4 a.m. and then I went to the game. I was shocked. So
yeah. That's how we do it in Buffalo though. Is like after
Because we had our meet, right? We had the meet and after party and then, you know,
party.
I was able to kind of let go and let loose for a little bit and just go enjoy myself and
you
know, a little too much of that, but it is what it is.
But yeah, anyway, so Sheffield, it's been announced, the price money has gone up. It's like basically going to be bigger and better than ever. I mean, they're already starting with the heavy promotion of it, you know, over, you know, a year out or whatever, less than a year out, I guess at this point, but yeah, it's should be pumped. Should be exciting. Were there any, you know, performances that popped off that you really appreciated or anything like that?
I think Jesus's performance was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I think the one that really stood out was Evie's. Like no one had her, you know, even she wasn't even a thought to win. And she just showed up and she performed and she ended up winning. So I think for that, it's just like it just goes to the show, like show up, like it just show up and just give your best effort and make your lifts and anything can happen. So you're never really out of it unless you count yourself out. And she just performed, and you know, it was getting towards the end. I'm like, oh wow, this girl can win it. Like she was projected like 10th or last. I think there was 10 women. She was projected to lose. Like it was outright, like completely last place, and then ends up winning it. So just goes to show, you just show up.
Yeah.
Like, it's all that matters at first. Like you just got to get there. You get there, and anything can happen because you know everyone's probably coming in a little beat up. You got that travel. You got just people are going to take some risks with some attempts to kind of, you know, force people to make decisions, and anything's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think about like, You know, there was a lot of attempt changes at the end, especially like with Evie and Noemi going back and forth, and then on the men's side as well, just trying to get that placing up with like the percentage of the world record and everything. Like, as a coach, did that seem exciting to you? Did that seem like fun, like number crunching and stuff?
Yeah, it's
more complicated, more complicated than normal? Or?
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think that the stakes are higher there, so you're gonna just try to inch out every kilo you can. And then of course you're forcing your competitors to make decisions they may not want to make. But you know, it's at that level too, where they're just going to leave it all out there, and, you know, you might be like, hey, but there's no way they pull this, and they end up pulling it, because you just, certain lifters are just going to rise to the occasion, you know, and they're going to leave it all out there, whether they make or miss. So, but yeah, as a coach, it's just cool. It's just fun to watch. It's what you want to see. It's exciting. And, you know, I expect the same for next year, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it looks like, you know, they're really on top of it. They're already, you know, dropping stuff and whatnot. So it's going to be a lot of hype. I'm just excited too. Like, the prize money went up, which is crazy. It was already like by far like the biggest.
Yeah, that's money definitely, that's enticing. I think that alone is going to catch some eyes, and, you know, you're going to see some names move over just because of that.
For sure. For sure. And I mean, I think every young lifter should be inspired to want to be at Sheffield one day.
Yeah. It's no, I know. I was texting Joy that day. She was watching. She was at work. I texted her. I said, hey, you know, you can be here one day. And she was like, yeah, I want to. So definitely on our radar. And again, it's just one of those things. It's one of those goals where she just has to stay in the sport long enough, and she can definitely get there one day.
Yeah, it's almost fitting. It's a day before Super Bowl, because it's a Super Bowl of powerlifting now. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's the biggest event. It's the biggest, most important event. Everyone's buzzing about it. There'll be a ton of media hype around it and everything like this. So really very similar to a Super Bowl.
Of course. It'll be fun.
So yeah. All right. The other thing I was going to ask, did you hear? So we just dropped the junior and sub junior preview show for coming up. You know, we're basically exactly a week out from junior and sub junior nationals in Scottsdale, Arizona. It starts June 2nd. Did you hear the breaking news? Jessica Espinal might want to be doing junior worlds.
I didn't, but I was hoping she would. Yeah. John and I talked about that, and it was something we were hoping she would want to do. Obviously it'll be up to her, and I'm sure depending on how she does in Malta will kind of help make that decision for her. But no, we were hoping she'd want to, you know, come back and you know, go to Romania. So, but I did not hear that. It's the first time I'm hearing it. So, but
yeah.
Because I was hoping she would want to,
for sure. You know, she DM'd me and just was like, hey, let them know, you know, depending on how things go in Malta, but I'm really looking at coming over to junior worlds and just doing it anyway. So make sure
she's already on the roster. Like, she's got her spot. So it was just, it's just waiting to hear it from her that she wants to come do it in Romania. So we'll see. We'll let it play out though.
And when are the nominations for junior worlds, will that happen after Malta?
She's on the roster simply because she competed open nats. So similar, we kind of talked about the Carolyn situation before getting on this, but similar to that, she's on the roster because of that.
So she's in the alternate pool. We'll get into all that, by the way.
We'll get into it, but as of now, she's technically, by our selection process, a secondary, or that secondary selection type of thing. Because she didn't compete in one of the events from the that are, you know, allowed in the primary. So
all right, we'll get into that. But anyway, breaking news. I like to do this little breaking news stuff at the top. And that was something that was really cool. We spill a little bit of gossip and a little behind the scenes action on this, on the Power of Teen America podcast here and there. So, all right, we're a week out from Junior Nats. How are you feeling about it? And what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, I have 7 of my own athletes competing. So I have at least one lifter every day, every session. And then I'm taking on a kid in the, I think he's a sub junior, Justin Noller. He might be a junior, I don't remember. He's in one of the lighter men's classes. He reached out and wanted me to handle him. So he's gonna join us for that day. So brings us up to 8. But no, I'm looking forward to the entire thing. The event itself is growing from last year. There's more lifters. I think there should be much more competition throughout. You know, some of the you just expectations for some of the weight classes, you kind of already know who's gonna win, or at least who you expect to win. But I mean, the 63 women in particular, just because I have a lot of skin in the game with that one, it's going to be exciting. It's probably going to be one of the more competitive weight classes just of the entire weekend. And then, of course, you know, mainly because, you know, I got Joy competing in that class. But
yeah,
it's just, I think the entire weekend's going to be fun. For me, you know, outside of just coaching my athletes, you know, it's, you're finally starting to put all the pieces together for the national teams. Yeah. So it's that final, you know, event or meet that we need to solidify these rosters and start sending out our, you know, our invites, which is something John and I have been looking forward to since this whole thing started.
Yeah, and all the lifters that have been to high school nationals and university nationals and stuff there.
Everyone in my DMs asking me, hey, when does this happen? When is that? Like just patience. Like it's happening. So, I mean, we sent out some stuff to kind of get an idea of who would accept an invite if, you know, they are selected, if they wouldn't, you know, just stuff to expedite things because we won't have a lot of turnaround time to.
Yeah.
So especially for the NAPF stuff.
Yeah, for the NAPF team in particular. Yeah, so, I mean, people, check your emails from these coaches. Make sure you're getting all that ADL stuff taken care of, you know, like all the stuff you can do in advance. Get it done so you can accept right away when you get the invite.
Yeah, because we need all that information. We need the ADL certification to show that you completed it. That's all got to be sent in when we send in our preliminaries. So
give us a little behind the scenes what Joy's packing for Scottsdale here. She's in a battle. So you mentioned it. This will be the opening session of the entire competition. Will be one of the most stacked weight classes, 63 kilo junior women. There's like basically like a four-way battle for first place where any one of them could, depending on how the day goes, could possibly win. Talk about starting off with a bang, right? For this whole competition. So yeah, I know you don't want to give away any secrets. You don't want to say too much, but hype us up, build the hype, give us some little bit of suspense and drama about what might happen in that weight class.
Well, I mean, if anyone that follows Joy knows she's going to be posting her lifts and stuff. I mean, it's just part of, you know, her being an influencer and whatnot. So there's really no secrets there as to what she's capable of. But, you know, she's been really working hard. And I know I'm confident, you know, and of course, it just depends on how the day's going, that she can win. And I mean, the whole thing going into it was, you know, we will win. But, you know, again, she's got to show up. She's got to perform. And, you know, what you see on the internet isn't exactly Joy, right? You see internet Joy. I've seen platform Joy, and it's two different lifters. When she's locked in, she's locked in, and she is tough to beat. She will push everybody to their limit, and she likes being pushed to hers. So, it's just going to be fun. That's really it. And she's earned every kilo, and whatever she does out there, she has earned, she deserves, and it's just up to her to execute. So biggest thing I've been telling her and everybody else, it's just like, whatever I load on that bar, you know, I trust you to execute. That's the thing. It's just trust. And I'm not going to put you in a position to fail. You know, we might have to take some risks, but ultimately, my goal is to put you in a position to succeed, and it's just up to you to execute on the platform.
Yeah, 100%, man. I love that. I mean, she's got a huge weapon in her back pocket with her bench, and then obviously, I think the other ace card up her sleeve is you as her coach. I mean, someone who has really high level game day coaching experience. A lot of your lifters go 8 for 9, 9 for 9, right? Like Joy often goes 9 for 9, and just. How important is that, you know, for her particularly kind of being like a subtotal specialist with a massive bench to go 9 for 9?
Well, I mean, it's always our goal. Every meet is 6 for 6 squats and bench. It just sets us up really well. Her bench 9 times out of 10 is going to set her apart. And, you know, she might be a bit behind after squats, but her bench is just, I mean, anyone that knows her bench is just at a ridiculous level. You know, I don't think anyone's touching 100 kilos in her weight class, as far as I know. And so, I mean, her bench is just on a different level, and it just, it can bring her back into the meet, you know, as long as it's a 3-for-3 day. Even without it, you know, she can probably pull herself back in, but, you know, she will kind of put herself in a bit of a hole if she doesn't. But yeah, for us, it's just 6-for-6 is the goal. And then, you know, deadlifts, you know, everyone's like, that's where the meet starts. And, you know, to an extent it is. But, you know, and her deadlift has been improving. And we'll just kind of, we'll see where she's at that day. When she competed in January, she just kind of ran out of gas. And I think with some of the changes she's made recently, I think we'll be good. So
yeah, yeah. She talked about
it. Yeah. Well, let me, one more thing too. You mentioned like the 8-for-9, you know, 9-for-9 days. Like, biggest thing for me is, if the more lifts you make, as long as you're in contention to podium or place or win, the more lifts you can make, the better chance you have of doing so. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have lifters that come in, and trust me, there's lifters that come in very strong on paper, and, you know, you know, there's projections and predictions and all sorts of other objective things going on out there. And that's all fun, but it just matters what happens on the day up. And quite frankly, I don't really care who's she's competing against or anyone's competing against. Like, bring your best, and we're going to bring ours. And I can't focus on that. I can only focus on my athletes and putting them in positions to succeed. And that's all I can do. So that's what I will do.
Yeah, 100%, man. So like I said, I mean, you're a great game day coach, and like, that's definitely a huge weapon to have, like someone that's going to put you in a position to win, play the strategy, put the right number on the bar, so she's not pulling more than she has to on her third attempt or anything like that. Right. Just doing everything right, crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Right. And I'm not sure about her competitors. Some of them might have really good coaches as well, but some of them might not. Right. So that can be a big difference.
No, but, and then all the other, you know, all the other competitors are very strong. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be fun. And it's just going to come down to who makes their lifts. That's really what it's going to come down to. Mm-hmm. And then too, like, just depending on how the day's going, like, you know, you just might have to change your strategy on the fly, depending on how things are going. And it might be like, hey, we're not going to be able to take a win here. So let's just build the biggest total we can and put ourselves in a position to have an opportunity to be selected to the team. So that's where another strategy comes in, just across the board for everybody. And, you know, it's something I'll be discussing with the group, you know, going into things.
Yeah. And then also being in like a potential four-way battle. I mean, there's a lot, it's much more complicated than just a simple straight up head to head, right? Like, because you have to consider that someone behind you may be pulling for the win or maybe pulling for silver, and you might want to secure. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to go into that final deadlift attempt selection.
Exactly. Yeah. It kind of happened at Worlds even last year a little bit. It was just to secure placing, and we just, like, I knew Joy could pull what we had on the bar, and I wasn't confident in the girl. I think she was from Finland, to be able to pull for her, you know, whatever she had for her third. She locked it out, but it was just technically not sound. I think it came back up and down. So I said, Joy, you just got to pull this. Just pull this and force them to do what they need to do. And that's the strategy I like to take more times than not, is just force others to outperform. And, you know, we're in a good place just overall. Like, I don't like coming into a meet as the favorite. I think it puts a lot of pressure, extra pressure on a lifter. Mm-hmm. I know for Joy personally, it does. And I just like being in that underdog position, because you're hungrier, and the favorite typically gets a little bit too comfortable, and they start to make mistakes. And then you just pressure them, and you apply the pressure, and you force them to beat you. And if they beat you, they beat you. If they don't, then too bad.
Yeah, man, you're sounding like Matt Gary right now. I fucking love it.
Dude, it's just how I do it, man. Like, I just, you know, I just, it's not, you don't always have to be the favorite, and the favorite's not always going to win. It's just the best lifter on that day. And that's that.
Yeah. Just like these things, like apply pressure, you know, like, I mean, if she misses her last deadlift, then it's like, you just gave the gold medal away. You know what I mean? It's like, hit something you can hit, make them go back out there and make their third deadlift under pressure. Right. You know, it's a lot harder to do it on a national stage under pressure, but it's really easy when your opponent misses their third and then you win in the warm-up room, like before you even go out and walk out to take exactly. your third, you know? Exactly.
So, and you never know what happens, man. Like bomb outs happen.
Yeah.
You just never know. So you can't go in with a predetermined outcome. You just go in and you put everything out there and just compete and let sure. whatever happens happen.
Yeah. So people that are on the U.S. national team headed to Romania or on the U.S. national team headed to the Cayman Islands, this is your guy, man. He's going to be calling your attempts and stuff. So you're in good hands here. He knows what he's talking about. Sounds exactly like, you know, all this strategy stuff that you're talking is like straight out of the Matt Gary playbook. One of the most successful game day coaches ever. So it's really good to hear that, you know, so we know our team's in really good hands when they go up against these other countries.
Yeah, for sure.
So put your national team coach hat on for a second and talk about the other competitors in that 63 class.
I mean, I'll be honest. I follow Tiara. She's been doing well. She's having what seems to be like a good prep. Mm-hmm. Sophia, I don't know. I haven't seen much of her training. I know she has a big squat. I know she has a big deadlift. That's about all I know.
And you know her from Junior Worlds last year.
She was there. And she was obviously at Nationals last year as well. So I know she's a threat. Tiara's a threat. They're all a threat. The top four girls there could all win. Just depends on who has the best day. And then you have Daisy at the top with the big total. But you know, I've seen some of her training and we'll see if she can turn things around a bit to meet some standards on the platform. So, but not to throw shade, it's just it is what it is. But I look at that stuff. I do that type of recon work. You just gotta know what you're going up against, because you know, there's a lot of things I can be doing too. Mm-hmm. In that warm-up space, as you know, you're waiting in the queue area to go out, you know, so we'll see. I will do whatever I need to do for my athletes to win. Obviously the rules, of course, right?
Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, I want to win just as bad as Joy, just as bad as any of the other athletes that I'm bringing to Nationals. We want to win. That's just it. But I want to win at every level. I want to win at the international level. Want to, you know, so I'm just going to do what I got to do. And that's that. So
it's funny. You're such a fierce competitor. You have a hard time taking off your personal coach hat.
I do. And I'm holding back a little bit on some things. Like I don't want to throw shade. Like everyone coming, you know, competing in this class is great. Like it's going to be fun. It's just, again, like whoever has the best day will win. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, like Daisy, she's a couple years older. She got a little more
experience. She's going to age out after this year, if I'm not mistaken.
I want to say she's 21. So I think she has at least another year after this. I'm not sure, but I mean, it's gotta be exciting to think that when we go to Romania, you're going to have an absolute shooter at 63, whoever it is that comes out.
Yeah.
In one of the most competitive weight classes in the world.
Exactly. And you'll probably, I'd want to say, we're probably going to have 263s going. That's going to be my guess. Just because of how competitive it is, how close all their totals are.
Yeah.
They're all going to be around that 90 GL category or higher. So we'll see. I mean, and then of course it depends on, you know, if they're available to go, they can afford to go, like all of those, you know, road bumps that, you know, come up as the selection process takes shape.
Yeah, 100%, man. I'm super pumped. I mean, whoever makes it out of this weight class is going to have a good shot over there being super competitive. And it'll be a fun, you know, it's fun when you're in the game and you're fighting for those podium spots, you know?
Exactly.
So either way, however it shakes out. All right. So let's, we'll go back to the personal coaching hat here for a second. Right. Did you listen to Joy's episode on the PA podcast?
Dude, I have been trying to. I'm like 30 minutes in. I try to toss it on when I'm driving around, and sometimes I'm just lost in my music and I forget, oh, I was going to listen to Joy's podcast. I've only gotten through like 30 or so minutes. But So far, it's good from what I've listened to.
So the question...
Go ahead.
The question I wanted to bring up out of it, she talks about kind of the origin story of how she, you know, met you for the first time and stuff. And she said that she just called, she just Googled like powerlifting gyms or whatever, found Kenmore Barbell and just called the gym. And
yeah, so
you answered.
That's pretty much what happened. I think I actually, it was her mom who had called.
Okay.
And I didn't answer because I didn't recognize the number.
Okay.
But I usually, when that's the case, I usually just send out a text. You know, hey, it's so-and-so from Kenmore, you know, Barbell, how can I help you? And then she mentioned who she was and I gave her a call back right away and we talked and I'm like, yeah, just bring her by and, you know, we'll take a look at things and, you know, this and that. And so the first day she's there, it's like, I think a Saturday morning, I want to say. And now mind you, this was like almost 2 years ago now. So
Yeah, he's
not perfect, but, and we just kind of went over each lift really quick and she squatted well, like, but then she benched and she's like, yeah, I can bench like 195. I'm like, okay, there's like in my head, I'm like, there's no. So she did it. She showed me and I'm like, holy Christ. Like now it wasn't great powerlifting technique style bench, but 195 is a 195. You're just like, this girl's got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
So then we, you know, we went on with the process and we, Joy and I then had like a quick, like 30 minute call or so the next day or sometime the following week, just kind of going over things. And that's kind of when she's like, yeah, I want to, you know, I want to be an influencer. I want to do this. I want to do that. And like, okay, like, let's just kind of focus on the powerlifting for now. But, you know, those things can come as time goes on. And then, you know, we just started training and got her competing. I think it was like end of April was her first, it was like the anniversary of her first meet. So she's only been competing for like a year now. Like it hasn't been that long. But she just comes from that gymnastics background, right? So she's had a ton of, she's just developed a lot of strength there. She had a couple of years or so, at least a year or so of her own in the gym, just kind of doing things and finding a new passion, you know, after everything that happened with gymnastics. And now she's just, now she just loves powerlifting. So it just, yeah, it was just one of those things we got started and, you know, I didn't think it would get to this point this soon. But I knew she had the potential for it. So it was after her first competition, actually, I was looking at the PA roster and I'm like, ah, there's no one there. Let me see if she'd be interested. So I asked her and like, she didn't even hesitate. So again, that wasn't really in the plans though. So going into that, we had like, I think 7 or 8 weeks to prepare for it after just competing. So I'm like, all right, there's not really much more we're going to get out of her. We might add like 5 kilos to her total. And then we went and, you know, the rest has kind of just been history since.
Yeah, man, it's been a meteoric rise. I mean, I love this, you sort of like the origin story of like, you know, you made a call and it was funny because, I was on her episode. I'm just like, well, thank God Vin answered that phone call. Like it didn't just go straight to voicemail. And then now you're like, no, I sent it straight.
No, I didn't because I don't answer a lot of calls. I don't recognize. And you know, I just let it go to voicemail and half the time, 9 times out of 10, it's just spam calls and nonsense. So waste of my time.
I mean, as a business owner myself, you know, I got a publicly listed number, you get a shit ton of weird calls and stuff like I definitely screen all my calls as well. So, but it's cool that, you know, you hit them back right away. And it just to think like you could have easily, I mean, you're a busy guy, like, you know, like you got a lot of ambition, you got a lot of things, irons in the fire. So it's like, could have easily just let that fall and who knows where she would be now.
Exactly. It could have fallen through the cracks and, she may have still found the sport, but, you know, I'm glad it's worked out as it has. And, she's got the potential to be really, really special in the sport. She's just got to stick around long enough and stay healthy, of course, and just stay the course just in general.
And how do you think like her gymnastics background, like prepared her like mentally, you know, because I mean, like you're saying these long-term time horizons here for being patient and she's at an age where patience is not something that most 18-year-olds have. Right. No. So, but I think having that gymnastics and that Olympic sort of aspiration and stuff makes her a little different.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she was a high level gymnast. Like she was, I mean, I think she was like a level 9, I believe. And I'm sure she would have committed D1 somewhere for gymnastics. But being that high level and that competitive, I mean, you just develop a lot of mental strength And of course, physical strength too. But
yeah,
and I think in a sport like powerlifting, once you get to a certain level, it just becomes more mental. Like she's strong enough to lift just about anything I throw on the bar. A lot of it has been, you know, at least recently, just kind of working on the mental side. And just, you know, like, especially with squats, 315, like that was just a mental game for a while. And now it's just like, it's literally a warm up for her at times. Half the time we don't even use it to warm up, but yeah, just her background in general with that, I think it just makes her a competitor. And I think it's, you know, I can't speak for her 100% on this, but I would imagine it's like you lose something you were so passionate about and you felt like you could have gone to a high level with it. And you find something, you know, somewhat similar.
Yeah.
That team aspect of a sport, but where it's very, very individual at its core. And she's just got that competitiveness that she will set goals and she will achieve them. And I think that's something gymnastics has taught her and something she's carried over into powerlifting. So it just makes her a very, it's an advantage for her for sure. And it just makes her very difficult to beat on meet day because she's going to lock in and she's just going to show up and she's going to compete. And, you know, she's probably been in competitions in gymnastics where she's been pushed to her limits. And, you know, there's probably been instances where she's pushed others to theirs. And that's just, you can't teach that. She just has it. And she has a lot of the intangibles you can't really teach. And she's just hungry and she just wants to be great. And so part of my job is just making sure we do that at an appropriate pace. So she doesn't get injured. She doesn't get too much in her head. She doesn't try to force too much. And that was stuff we had to work on in the beginning. Like she was very, you know, it's not that she wouldn't follow the program or anything or follow my advice. It's just, she just wanted more and more and more.
Yeah.
And, you know, it works to a certain point, but then it catches up. And this prep, we just really honed in on that. And we just said, hey, listen, like, we have to take things a little slower in the beginning. We have to prime the body. We have to build that foundation, right? And let it just come. Let the progress come to you. Don't chase it. And I mean, it's just made a big difference for her. As you can tell, like, she's just took that step that I expected her to take. And, you know, there's obviously plenty more left to achieve.
Well, I mean, I think it's just, you know, it's a real testament to yourself just that, I mean, obviously Joy is amazing. She puts in the work, she does all the, you know, all the things, but, from the coaching side of things, like I said, I mean, 18-year-olds are extremely impatient and you see it all over the place where juniors come in, they burn super bright and then they burn out, you know? And it's like, because oftentimes at 18 years old, oftentimes they're like self-coached or they got like a friend or someone that's coaching. They don't have like a serious, like professional coach like you, to kind of pull those reins back in and give them that mindset of like, look, this is a long game. You've said it now like two or three times on this podcast. If she stays in the sport long enough, the sky's the limit. Right. And that's the only question is keep her healthy and keep her going for long enough. She's going to be on that Sheffield stage.
Right. Cause she could be one of those lifters that excels early. I mean, she already is, but then burns out quickly. And you know, I don't want that for her, but you know, and then you have the lifters who, you know, they develop a bit slower and in some cases she has, but the slower progress, I mean, it adds up over time. If you can just pace yourself, it doesn't really matter who you are. If you're committed to it, you'll find a way. Some will just excel faster at a more steady rate. But anyone really, I mean, that wants to put the time and effort in and commit to it can get to a high level. They just have to want to do that. So, and I know she does. So now for her, it's just honing in everything and just, you know, making sure we're focusing on every little aspect of things outside of the gym as well, which she does. And that's made a huge difference.
Yeah, man. It's such a great story and it's a superstar story, you know, and it's a rise from the bottom up story. And it's a very inspiring for anyone out there that's been following along. It's very inspiring that like, and especially to hear you even say like that, she told you from day one that she wanted to be an influencer and now she is, you know, and like she legitimately is now. So, I mean, she's just a person that's goal driven and just sets those goals and just tears them down.
Exactly. And that's just something about her. Like she'll set a goal. She even set goals for this prep that at the time I looked at them, like, wow, those look a little unrealistic right now, right? But just because where we were, and I'm like, wow, in 15 weeks you want to do that, and she's accomplished that. Now she wasn't successful on all of them, but she put herself in a position to attempt them. Mm-hmm. And that's just as great. And I mean, just having that goal, that overreaching goal, I mean, I gave her something to work towards. So yeah. In the meantime, we had to focus on, okay, we got to find smaller goals in between so that we're not too fixated on that big number, because it may not be attainable at the end of each block. We have to work towards it.
For sure. So yeah, man, it's a great story. I can't wait to see where it goes. I feel like we're just like in like the opening chapter of it, to be honest. Yeah. And it's already like, it's like one of those books where it's like, it's already got you hooked and you just want to read it all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to be along with the journey and stuff. I've had the privilege of being around, you know, for Joy's competition in Orlando and in Buffalo and stuff, and just seeing everything. And it's amazing. So it's a movie. Like there'll be a Netflix movie or something about this one day, right?
Yeah, there might be.
So, all right, let's talk about Junior Worlds 2022. So, tell us a little bit of, like, you know, how you got involved with going over to Turkey last year, and then, you know, what happened from there.
Yeah. So I had, I kind of touched on it with Joy. Yeah. She competed, and, I proposed the idea, and she said yes, to go into national at least, and then Clark as well. So we just went. And we both ended up winning. Both Clark and Joy won their weight classes and took their invites. And then we just went out to Turkey. We weren't really sure what to expect. We weren't just expecting to go. We honestly weren't even sure what the selection criteria was. I don't think they really announced anything.
Yeah. It was a little.
Yeah. But it was all happening so fast. So it is what it is.
We're building this plane as we're taking off.
Yeah, ultimately they made the team and we went out to Turkey. We had a blast. It was just a fun experience. Now I've coached internationally before, but it was at the NAPF level. So that was my first like IPF world level type of event. And
okay.
So, you know, I knew going in it was gonna be higher stakes. It was gonna be just a little bit more competitive, and all of that. And it lived up to it. Like, it was fun. Joy placed second. She finished with a gold medal in bench. And of course at the time held the world record in bench, with that just, you know, unprecedented battle with her and Kaja. Something you won't probably see that very often, I don't think.
No.
With six attempts being, you know, world record attempts. And then of course Joy like opening with the world record, which was like, I told her from the start, I'm like, that's what we're gonna do. And she's like, okay, like I think she was probably, you know, ready to soil herself, but she agreed to it. But we did it. And you know, it's funny, I mentioned too, like, she had a bad bench day that day, even though we finished with gold and left with a world record. She just was not having a good bench day, and people will probably think I'm crazy, but it's just the truth.
Yeah.
But then with Clark, like, he took third in his, I remember the one thing he said, he's like, wow, everyone can actually squat here. You know, you go to meets and some people just don't know how to squat, or they're mm-hmm. just they don't know how to select attempts. And so, yeah, we went 3 for 3. I think Clark went 9 for 9 that day. And I think the one notable thing for him was his 20 kilo jump on his deadlift attempt, first to second. He's just like, I have it. I'm like, okay. So it kind of put us right in the position to just kind of pace ourselves into a podium spot. But we had a competitor from Italy who, like, just, I couldn't get a grasp on him. Like, every time we put in an attempt, he'd go 2.5 higher, but I didn't know where his limit was. And you know, with Clark, you know, we knew his limit, but he had more in the day, but you just, you know, unfortunately sometimes you find out the hard way.
Yeah.
But either way, they both finished on the podium, and it was just fun being away, different country, powerlifting, representing your country.
Yeah,
I mean, they had a blast, and of course Joy's hooked. You know, Clark's still competing, but he's just doing his own thing now.
Yeah.
And then we got to the banquet, and that's when John kind of approached me and asked if I wanted to take a coaching position next year. Because I, you know, aside from Clark and Joy, I helped out with Anthony, helped out with Yaya. And the results from those two events, those two competitors, like that kind of fueled me to want to come back as well.
So that's what I wanted to get into was like, because we know, you know, you went with Joy and Clark. They were both sub juniors. They're both sub junior national champions. Actually, we talked about it a lot on Joy's episode of the PA podcast where, you know, actually the attempt selection that Kajra made on bench ended up kind of biting her because she went from 100 to 105 and missed it twice.
Right.
Joy took the world record 96 kilos, then 101 and then 103. And, you know, Kajra opened 100 kilos. So you just chipped it. You just kind of chipped it 101.
Yeah. Well, I kind of had a feeling like I knew where Joy was going to open. And I had a feeling Kajra would open heavier just because she at the time had a stronger bench.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, let's just chip the world record. Well, whatever Kajra puts on, we'll put in at least a half kilo more.
Yeah.
And actually, quite frankly, her first attempt, Kaja's, I think there was some up and down that was subtle that got missed. And of course, like it was hard to tell on the replay or just the screen in the back. So it was like, wasn't it one of those ones where you're running right to the jury to get it, you know, looked at again. So there is a chance she could have bombed had we kind of caught it, but, you know, some things go missed. But it is what it is. You can't fix it now. But no, that just bench battle was just, that was fun. Like you just had two girls just going, you know, six attempts, all world record attempts, right from the start. Like just exciting. Like you're not going to see that very often. No.
But I mean, it's also just like, it's again, a testament to yourself. I mean, as far as playing the game right, because after you hit 96 and she takes 100, okay, why not take 100.5? Why not take a chip? Why not, you know, do some, like, that's a little bit of a weird number to take. Obviously, she was confident she was going to take 105 next. But still, that's a mistake. Like, she should have taken, you know, 99.5 or 100.5.
I guess it's just Poland's thing. They don't like to chip anything. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. They don't like
don't know what it is, but they don't. And even with Joy, like we knew she's good for 5 kilo jumps. She's good on like a 7.5 kilo jump, to be honest, on bench. Like that's just where her bench is at. But if we don't have to do that, we're not gonna do that. And you know, we didn't have to. I'm glad we didn't do it because you know, we took a jump to 103 and it just wasn't there. The pauses were long, but they were justified. She was a little shaky in her bottom position, so she just couldn't get that bar motionless in time, and that will definitely impact some things, but it's improved now and she definitely won't have that problem, you know, in a week.
Yeah But I mean, even just like taking, you're saying 5 kilo jumps, like, but it's, you start at 96 then 101, like that's it's just obvious when you look at the numbers, like that, you know, it could have been that Kajra could have came out and done 101.5 on her second and walked away with that gold medal on bench and, you know, whatever, the rest is history. But I mean, just for people listening out there, it's like, this is why it's really important that you have a coach like Vin in your corner, you know, like knows the strategy here, because it's not just about who's the best bencher here. Like if you look, Kajra went and broke the world record later at Euros. She's a very formidable bencher, equally right there with Joy. They're both crazy, ridiculous outliers. You could argue that Kajra was the stronger bencher on the day and she walked away with the silver medal because you put the right attempts in.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I said earlier. Like you just, it's the day that matters. I mean, numbers don't really, they only matter at the end, you know, and what you're able to do on the platform. And that's the thing too, with anything, like you just look at like, even totals going into nationals and the nominations for worlds and stuff, like you got to have it, you got to do something to kind of set up the event, but it doesn't matter. Like you just, you know, you're going to anticipate lifters coming in stronger. They might even be coming in injured to some extent. You just don't know. So point being is don't get too caught up in what you see on paper. You just have to show up and compete on the day. And just let whatever happens happen.
And bring a real game day coach, man. I mean, I can't stress it enough. Like, I mean, this is, it's like, You know, you could be, have all the strength in the world. You come in and you put the wrong numbers on the bar and stuff, right, like, and you're doomed. You're going to get schooled by someone like Vin.
Yeah.
So,
it may come to that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's talk about the 105s though, the junior, Anthony McNaughton. So just tell us a little bit of backstory. You kind of got roped in, you know, I think, you know, you were handling Clark and Joy amazingly successful. They missed like one lift between them. And then you get the call from Anthony, like, hey, yo, I wanted you to handle me on the day.
Yeah. I think John Song had reached out prior to me getting there and just asking if I would, you know, help out with Anthony. I don't remember exactly what happened, but all I know is, you know, I was asked to help Anthony out, and, you know, the night before we kind of met up and just kind of went over the game plan and, you know, just had a plan going in. Then of course you get to the day, and this is again exactly what I mean. Like, you don't know what's going to happen, and warmups were going well. He was squatting well. And then it's just, you know, got out to the platform and just couldn't get to depth. I mean, it looked deep enough, right? But
yeah,
judging at that level is much stricter. And we couldn't get our squat. Unfortunately, we got our third, but we had to take our opener three times. And so that we probably left, I'd want to say at least 15 kilos on squat, which kind of put us behind a little bit. And then of course we kind of made it back on bench. Kids got a ridiculous bench. And you know, and then deadlifts, it just was going to come down to, you know, whether or not Coco was having a day or not. And he had a perfect day. He showed up, he competed, he made his lifts, and he made it difficult for us to win. And, you know, hats off to him. He performed. And it's not to say Anthony didn't. He did very well as well. He turned it around after the squats, and he stayed in the game. And that's a testament to him as well. Like, if he couldn't shake off those squats and move forward, he would have had a much harder time even being in a position to pull for the win. So, and then, but that one hurt a little bit, right? Like, we knew we could win if all went well. And it just didn't. And, you know, it's been a sour taste in my mouth. I'm sure it's been a sour taste in his. And, you know, we have plans to avenge that this year. Like, that is one reason why I took the position, is because I want to go back and win with Anthony, because I knew we could have done it that day.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, I mean, it was a crazy situation to miss your opening squat and then miss it again, and then you have to come out and make it on your third. But hats off, like, he persevered, he made it through the adversity, and you know, finished off strong and still put pressure after bench and stuff. I mean, I remember thinking like, shit, this is over after squats. And then no, after bench, it was like, well, let's see, because Coco's missed a lot of lifts in the past. But you know, like you said, Coco performed.
But well, that's the thing. It's never over till it's over. As long as you're still in the game and you got the right mindset and you're still in it, anything can happen. So again, hats off to Anthony for just mentally just being able to stay in the game and just perform. And he gave himself an opportunity to still win, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah. I had Anthony on the PA podcast as well. So, you know, shout out, go listen to that episode. He talks about this a lot. He talks about how Coco's like living in his mind now, and like how he cannot wait to get back and either go head to head and beat Coco or beat whoever France is sending. But how is the vibe? Cause then you also had Yaya in the 120s, who ended up taking a silver medal to Nicolas Peyrot, also from France. And so like, how's the little rivalry we got here going with these on the junior men's team against USA and France?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's one of the more notable rivalries just in powerlifting in general. And they just have shooters, man. It doesn't matter who they send. Like, any of them are a contender. It doesn't matter. Women's, men's, doesn't matter. Like, any of them can win on any day. And it just, again, it just came down to them hitting their lifts and just performing. And Yaya had a great day. We just fell short. But yeah, those two performances in general, like, those were, you know, and not to, you know, overlook, you know, being there with Clark and Joy, but, you know, those were great too. But like, losing to France, like, that just, there was just a little, you know, you wanted to come back and beat them. And that was definitely one of the motivating factors for me to take the position, you know, once I sorted out some logistics here, you know, back home and figuring out what I can do, what I can't in terms of coaching and all of that. So, But yeah, the rivalry is great, and I hope it's still up to lives up to its name in Romania. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that, man. You were right there in the trenches in one of the most pivotal parts of all of Junior Worlds, and part of this rivalry between Team USA and Team France will be stemming like, because these guys are going to be in the open. I mean, like we saw Anthony come out to Buffalo in January and throw down a ridiculous total that would be extremely competitive. Everyone was talking he should go to nationals and he could hit the qualifying total to make it on the open team. And he talked about it on the PA podcast, you know, you go back and listen to that. Like, you know, he didn't want to do it for a lot of different reasons, all of them being sort of like the fact that he's just a super ethical, high level dude that is like, you know, doesn't want to take like an easy win or anything like that. And he wanted to go back and avenge himself at Junior Worlds. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's now, you know, they're competitive on the open team as well. And we're going to see these guys battling. So Coco and Anthony, like, this is going to be a battle for the ages, I think. Yeah. So I hope so.
I mean, it's got all the writing on the wall to do that. Just see what happens on that day. But
yeah,
I'm confident in Anthony right now. His training is going well. I talk about him like I'm his personal coach, but I'm not. I just, you know, John's doing great work with him. And I know Anthony's got just, he is living in Coco's mind, I'm sure, a little bit
as well, yeah.
Vice versa. And I know he just wants to win. I know he wants to avenge himself on that platform, and you know, and I think we'll do just that. But we just, you know, we got to take care of nationals first and then get to worlds.
Yeah it must be exciting. It must be cool to have, like you said, you know, you're not his personal coach, but you're gonna be coaching him at worlds. You were in the trenches with him there. You go through these battles. You make these friendships, and then, like, you know, you follow along like we all do. Like, I'm a, you know, fan of the sport, and you see this heartbreaking thing happen to Anthony, but then you see the redemption arc happen. Buffalo throws down a massive number there, and then we're about to see him absolutely ball out in a week from now at Scottsdale. Probably might have the biggest total of the entire competition as a 105. So that's going to be, you know, something to watch for, something to for sure, you know, get excited about. So since then, you've been named U.S. national team coach for the juniors and sub juniors. What all has that entailed, you know, like after Turkey up until this point?
There hasn't been really too much up until recently. You know, we've had a few meetings just to kind of go over some stuff and kind of lay the foundation of things and really iron out selection process stuff and get that all situated in a, you know, appropriate amount of time for the athletes to understand like what's going on, what to expect, you know, how you can qualify and be selected. And so, but now it's ramping up a little bit because we, you know, we had, you know, high school nationals wasn't too long ago. You had, university nationals recently. And then of course you had some of our, you know, age division lifters competing at the opens. So they're, you know, we had essentially four meets that you can qualify from. And now, you know, the last one to do that for is a week away. So, and then everything's going to ramp up and everything's just going to really kind of, it's going to be a little chaotic for a couple of days, sending out invites and just getting things situated and, you know, but that's the fun part, right? Like, this is like kind of what we've been all kind of waiting for. All the foundation's been laid. We have a reasonable idea of who's going to be on the team already. But there's still a lot of spots to fill because these age division lifters are pretty strong. So, but again, you don't know who can accept and go and who can't. And so, you know, you don't want to get too excited yet because, you know, a lifter you're looking forward to having on the team may break your heart and tell you they can't go. So, you just wait, let the pieces fall. And then you kind of compile all the results and go from there. So, but
yeah, I mean,
it's only getting exciting. It was kind of just like, you know, after getting asked and taking time to make the decision, I think I waited until like almost the end of the year last year to decide. And then, you know, to now see it all kind of coming together and, you know, and then I'll of course be going to Cayman as well for NAPF. I guess I'm head coaching that with Tom, and I believe John's going to be there as well. So I'll get a little more experience there. And then, you know, we fly out to Romania shortly after that.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, like we call it the U.S. national teams, you know, plural, because it isn't just one U.S. national team. So what are the two, you know, spots that people are competing for?
We have the NAPF, which is the North American team. And then you have the world level team, which is the one I think everyone chases. It's the most prestigious. Some people will opt for the NAPF because typically it's the location of the event itself is a little bit more fun. But everyone chases that world level. I mean, everyone that's in this, these national level meets are typically there because they want to be on these teams. That's kind of the entire idea of the federation right now is to provide that opportunity again. So you have your world level team and then you have your North American, which is basically how we want to do it. And it was never kind of done this way in the past. It never really got attention really. And the way we want to create, we want to create like a farm system in a way and like use the NAPF system as a way to develop some lifters and get them on the world level teams. Even if they experience that world level once, we want to use the NAPF teams as a developmental system to get them there. And that's something we're working on. And that's why we've created a selection process that's a little bit more involved, if you will, to do that, because we want to have strong NAPF teams. And of course we want to bring the strongest team possible to the world level. So, you know, the selection criteria was kind of built out for that reason, you know, the way we did it.
Yeah. So, the North American Regional Championships, it's under the North American Powerlifting Federation, which is the regional affiliate of the IPF. So this is an IPF platform. For people that are probably familiar with Euros, which is like a massive event. It's one of the best competitions in the entire world, right? And some people don't even realize that we have our own regional IPF competition, which is called the North American Powerlifting Championships under the NAPF. And it should be a much bigger deal than it has been in the past. And so that is a big thing for us. It's a major focus because, you know, when you go and you compete at nationals and now as the depth starts to get really stacked in all these weight classes, I mean, you could ball out at nationals and not make the world's team. And so we want to have another option for you to go compete internationally, go break world records and get that IPF level experience, like you're saying, with IPF level referees and pressure and the whole vibe of representing your country, create more opportunities for people to represent their country. And that's what North Americans is and what it will be. And we've got some bosses. I mean, Ray Williams is going to go. Mike T is going to go.
There's a pretty hefty open team.
And so
it'll be fun. But the NAPF, when I went, I think it was like 2018, 2019. I don't know. It was in Costa Rica. I just remember that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what the hell it was. It was never really advertised. It was never, even talked about. So I didn't even know really what it was, but now again, like I said, we're trying to change that and really make it, something worthwhile and give people that platform and use it, especially with the age division folks, use it as a developmental system to help them get to that next level that they, they so wish. But that's it's just got to start. And this is kind of the beginning of that.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get into how you make it onto these teams. So let's bust open. So for people that are listening, I'll put the link in the description as well. And I'll go back and do it on the previous episode, the juniors preview show as well, because I forgot to do that. But if you go to powerlifting-america.com and you click on at the top, if you click on athletes and then you click on national teams, there's a sidebar there which has all of our different national teams, and you can click it and you'll see all the different qualifying criteria. It's all laid out there. So for the one for the juniors and sub juniors, let's go through that one since we got you on here as a U.S. national team coach.
Sure. Do you want to start with the primary?
Yeah, let's start with the primary and let's talk about the previous, what competitions can qualify you for it.
Yeah. So primary wise, the upcoming event in Arizona is a qualifier. University Nationals was a qualifier and High School Nationals. What we're looking for there is we will be ranking top nine by GL, male and female. And then we have to look at who's in that top nine ranking. And if they've won their weight class, they will receive an automatic bid to the team. Now you might have a few, let's say, I don't know, in the more popular weight classes, the more stacked ones, you might have a few 83s in there. You might have a few 63s in that top nine ranking. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't win, and that's kind of what sets it apart, is winning is the key. And of course, having a high GL. If you don't win, it makes it a little bit harder to get that primary. But from there, it doesn't mean you don't have a chance at all. From there, you just kind of get tossed into the secondary pool, which we remove the GL point ranking there, and we've used a Carpino. And for people who don't know what that is, in short, it's a way to rank you based on your total and where you would place, you know, from past, I believe the past 3 years,
yeah,
you know, on average, where you would place. So for example, like a Carpino one would indicate you would win more than likely. But if you have a Carpino one, you're probably already getting an automatic bid. So most of these Carpinos are like five and below is what it's looking like for the most part. And then from there, you know, your top ranked Carpinos are going to get their invites first, and we'll use that pool of lifters to start filling out the roster in terms of the alternate or secondary selections, if you will.
Okay. So real quick. So the Carpino, basically what they do is they'll take your total, they'll go and look and they'll see, okay, this total, if you did this at Worlds the last 3 years, you would have finished, let's say, first, second, and third, for instance. That's an average. Then you take that average over the last 3 years. So that's an average of a two, right? And so your Carpino score would be a two. And then you're just going to straight rank order them based on the Carpino and then fill in the remaining spots on the team based on whatever open spots there are left over after the primary selection, which is biggest total in your weight class at these three competitions, top nine IPF GL points.
Right.
Right. Okay. All right. So I've got up on the screen, you know, people are, if they're watching on YouTube, we're trying to talk through this because we're mostly an audio podcast, but you know, you can kind of see what he was talking about here, where you might have two people in a certain weight class. You know, you might have two people in this weight class. You can see here just as an example here. All right. Yep. And then talking ranking by IPF good lift points, that's this right here. And so we've mentioned in the past that Vin mentioned before. Now here we're on junior women here. Okay. So these are the juniors. Not a lot of them have competed yet. This competition coming up in a week, this is when the big shooters from the juniors are going to be coming out. So you'll see that we have Jessica and Carolyn at the top here with IPF scores above a 90. And that those two both did that at Open Nationals.
Right.
And then from there, we see there's a little bit of a fall off down to 74 here, 74 IPF GL points. There's probably going to be a lot of lifters in Scottsdale. Like we're talking in the 63s, you know, we're talking a lot of different weight classes, like the 84 pluses with Luella and with Chelsea, you know, that there's going to be some 90s thrown down that are going to slip, that are going to slip in here. Right. So. So that's what we're kind of talking about as far as like the rankings and everything like that. Then when I scroll over secondary selection here, these are the Carpino scores. All right. So you can see Jessica, who competed at Open Nationals. She's obviously an amazing lifter, going to go to Open Worlds and ball out, get a dub for Team USA. And you know, her score that she threw down at Open Nationals would be good for first place at Junior Worlds the last 3 years. That's what that one means. Then from there, you know, we got a bunch of 84 pluses. Only two of them can make it on the team. So that's why you see when we scroll over here, there's only two here. So then these other two, when we're looking at Carpino score, they're going to have to make it onto the NAPF team. And then Carolyn Connor would get the next spot available.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. So,
yep. So it gets a little confusing because of, you know, again, it just depends how many you'll have in each weight class. And, you know, we want each weight class to be represented at Worlds and even the NAPFs. So it does make it a little more challenging for some of those alternate spots, especially now with there being more lifters coming to Nationals. But ultimately, you know, John and I, we want to bring the strongest team possible, the team that not only is going to, you know, place well, but, you know, there is a team aspect to this as well. And there are team points to earn and there is a team placing overall. So we just want to do well everywhere. And the way we've laid out the selection process for this year is, I wouldn't say it's perfect, but I mean, it's very hard to formulate something perfect. Mm-hmm. So I think it makes sense. You know, you're encouraging lifters. I mean, winning matters, right? You got to win. And with that, you're, you know, of course you're going to have some lifters. Like in the 63s, you're probably going to see a few girls in there in that top nine, like in the high 90s. I know Joy is like somewhere between 95, 98, depending on where she finishes. And, you know, total wise. And then, you know, but I think her Carpino right now is probably like around a five or so, but yeah. I don't know.
That's the thing about Carpino is like, so even if she has a super high GL points, if she's not first place in her weight class across these three meets, then it doesn't matter what her GL points are. It will go to her Carpino score next. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the reason that is because we want to fill in those spots into positions where they can go and medal at Worlds to collect team points for Team USA. And so that's where you'll see it might be a little bit different. Like, so for instance, like we talk, Carolyn Connor's got a 91. That's a hella good GL score. But if we come over here, the 69 weight class that she's in is super stacked. So that's only a seven on a Carpino because the 69s are ballers all around the world. And so that's where that's giving you a little bit more of like where you stack up against the competition that you'll actually be facing at Worlds.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And Carolyn's going to do well enough at Nationals where she should win. Yeah. And earn the automatic, but
yep,
they said it's got to get done first before anything's set in stone. But she's been having a good stretch of training as well, so she should be okay.
Yeah, for sure. So just to show a couple of these, you know, Elaney, Luella, and Chelsea here, all in the upper 80s. Jessica Haggerty, man, she balled out at high school nationals. Really splash onto the scene. I can't wait to see these four here that are the top, especially, you know, Ava Pellini, also a double threat in equipped and in classic. So these are the sub juniors. So I'll be posting all this information. We've got standings up. I will update them. These are the most recent ones I'm showing you here. I'll also update the website with this information here. So it kind of has everyone ranked by IPF good lift points and have everything ranked by Carpino scores as well. Look at these Carpino scores on the juniors, super high, a lot of stuff in the ones. And that's because these are the sub juniors. I'm sorry. That's because a lot more sub juniors have already competed at high school nationals. So the talent pool and the sub juniors, they've already thrown down in high school nationals and put up big numbers. And so some of these are coming back for more though, like Chelsea. Luella did this at open nationals where she won the 84 plus in the open division. You know, they're coming back to throw down again in Scottsdale. So that's going to be a massive epic battle. But yeah, we'll throw all this up on the website. So you have a list of IPF good lift points and everything. So if you're wondering like what kind of good lift score do I need to get into the top nine, that information will all be there. So you'll know what to put on the bar for your final attempts.
Exactly. So
I guess
my advice to any lifter really is just put together the best performance you can as a lifter. Don't get too caught up in this team selection stuff because none of it is guaranteed. None of it is set in stone. There's a lot of obstacles and, you know, we're going to have to deal with all that in terms of like who can't go, you know, who declines or whatever reason. So put together the best, performance you can and give yourself a chance to get an invite and you might surprise yourself and receive one. So, just do the best you can do. And that's really it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the nice thing about the formula and everything that you guys have created. We saw the same thing at Open Nationals, with having to hit a super high qualifying Carpino one total. It really makes it so that you got to ball out. I mean, you got to show up and put up the biggest number that you can. And especially there's not a lot of gamesmanship to be played because if you're lifting on day one in Scottsdale, someone could come in and put up a bigger GL points in day two. So you're not, you know, you don't want to really make decisions just specifically on that. You want to get the biggest total you can get.
Yeah. Just lift weights, make your attempts and do your best to not leave too many kilos, you know, get all the kilos you can without missing. Right. So that'll give you the best chance to potentially get an invite if you're, you know, kind of on the fence right now.
Absolutely. So let's then just briefly talk about how the NAPF. So we went over primary selection, good lift points, top nine, win your weight class across these three competitions. Secondary selection, rank order by Carpino to fill in the remaining world's team spots. And then we go to NAPF. How is that team selected?
Then it just becomes another GL ranking. Top nine women, top nine men will get their invites first. So again, the GL is a bit more of a reflection of your strength and kind of where, I guess we, you know, it kind of sets you apart in terms of like where you are strength wise and where, you know, it gives us an opportunity to just build a strong team.
How good of a performance you had too, right? GL really indicates that as well.
Exactly. So, and that kind of comes back to where I said, just put together your best total because your GL point is a reflection of your total.
Yes.
So top nine women, top nine men get their invites. And then of course, I'm sure we'll have some people decline and all of that. So, but as I said earlier, like we're utilizing and we want to use this NAPF team and whatnot as a farm system, essentially, to help develop lifters. So just because you maybe aren't there yet to get your world team invite, don't scoff at an NAPF invite. Like if you can go and, you know, take the opportunity, gain some experience and just see what happens, because it's still fun. It's still international lifting. You're still able to represent the country. It sucks if you fall short of the goal and you wanted the world team, but there's a lot of lifters and it's a higher level of lifting and we want to bring the strongest team we can. So, and we want to do the same at the other level. And so don't scoff at it. We're going to bring strong teams and just do the best you can and just make the most of it. And if there's an opportunity you can go, just go.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you get the Team USA singlet. I mean, this NAPF, it may at this moment, people are first hearing about it, whatever they might not seem like, but this will become a very big deal. This being on the NAPF team is definitely going to be something to be proud of.
Yeah. For sure. At least that's our goal. It's something we want. It wasn't something that was ever really talked about in the past. And for what reason, I don't know, but yeah. I think it was just the world team was just not the team. But if you do it right, you can build strong NAPF teams and really develop within and see these lifters rise to the next level.
And I'll tell you that other countries take it very seriously. It was in Panama last year. A lot of the Latin American, Central American countries, wow, like they showed up big time. People that you may not have heard of before, but they all have strong teams. Dominican Republic, Costa Rica for sure is massive. Yeah. You know, Puerto Rico, we have an IPF affiliate that's with Puerto Rico as well. So, I mean, it's like Mexico brings strong lifters. I mean, it's a different vibe too. Like they're kind of like, they're very passionate and it's crazy and super fun. It's a long because it's all age divisions and it's both equipment and classic. So it's a long competition. It feels like a world's type event and it's in the Cayman Islands. So, I mean, like,
yeah, you can't, it'll be fun.
It's going to be a blast. We're all going to be there. It's going to be an amazing time. So yeah, I'm so pumped
either way. So, and it's all about the experience. I mean, at the end of the day, you can still say you lifted internationally. You can still say you represented your country. And I mean, it's an opportunity. So you may not be able to afford that opportunity the following year. So
yeah,
take it when you have it.
And I'll just say also, you get these initial invites, don't freak out because like last year, you know, we had Zach Taylor, like you said, we didn't really know what the qualifying criteria was. And he thought it was just win his weight class, you know, partially from bad advice from me. And, he didn't take his third, I think he only took one deadlift and didn't take his third bench, things like this, because he was unopposed. So he thought he was going to be on the team. Turns out he was put in the alternate pool and he was a couple deep on that alternate pool.
Yeah.
And with the juniors and sub juniors, there's always going to be people that can't make it. And there's always going to be people that are not going to be able to go to Romania or to Cayman Islands. So just be patient. Don't freak out. And probably if you're in one of those top two, three alternates, like there will be spots that will fall to you and we'll see how it goes. So, don't lose it over just being placed in alternates at the beginning. So, all right. Well, man, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with regard to this national team stuff?
No, I think we touched base on everything. So
yeah, absolutely.
Without confusing everybody, you know, I think we're good.
I mean, it's so exciting. Like, this has been building because, you know, we had high school nationals and we had some people ball out, and then we had university nationals, you know, and so it's different this year because we didn't have that last year. Like you said, last year, you just signed up for junior nationals, showed up in Orlando, and that was it.
Did your thing. And I like how we're providing those tiers, like a roster currently of like, hey, who's on the team right now?
Yeah.
Here's where you're ranking. And then it just gives people a little more data and understanding of what's going on, which is pretty neat. So,
and it gives them multiple opportunities. I mean, if because oftentimes the juniors and sub juniors, the cost of doing powerlifting is a big factor. Yeah. So now we have, you know, if you're in the East Coast, you could hit up that competition in Scranton. If you're more West Coast, you could come out to Scottsdale for junior nationals. So just try to create more opportunities. And I think it's cool because it kind of makes like a season, you know.
In a sense, for sure. So, and then of course, if you want, you can compete at Opens and just kind of ride it out and just hope what you were able to do there is enough to make the team. So,
yeah, absolutely. And there's enough space in between these competitions. You could do both, like Carolyn and Alex Sador.
Yep, we're both doing it. Which they both should do well enough to win. But as I've been saying, it just matters what happens on the day.
Absolutely, man. All right, bro. Well, I think that's a good spot to leave it. I'll let you go here. I know we both got a lot of stuff to going on and whatnot. I'm super pumped to see you in Scottsdale. We're a week out, and to just, you know, see how everything unfolds with all these battles and the way the U.S. teams are going to shape up.
Yeah, it should be fun. And I'm kind of glad it's getting to an end too, so we can move forward with team selection and really start to get excited for APFs and worlds and everything that people have been working for.
Absolutely. We're going to hype it like crazy. All right, man. Well, that's it for today for the Powerlifting America podcast. This is U.S. national team coach Vin Mangione out there in Kenmore, which is a suburb of Buffalo, New York. And thank you again for joining us. And thanks to everyone that's listening. We are out of here. Peace.
Peace. See you guys. Thank you.
And all right. Whoops, I hit cancel.